Imagine the Academy Awards had they existed in, say, 1800. Of course, that's not possible, but in the category of music composer, Muzio Clementi would have been nominated for Best Composition. Other contenders in the category would be Beethoven and Haydn. Mozart, even though he was younger than Clementi, he would have already have been dead. That's how young he died. And Rossini, he would have just been a young pup at 8 years old. Clementi was a star, and he toured and he performed. He dazzled audiences with his speed and virtuosity. There was once a great playoff between himself and Mozart. But the only reason he's remembered today is probably because he was enterprising enough to publish his own works, as well as those of his contemporaries, including Beethoven. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and this week we'll meet Muzio Clementi, a pianist who was very famous in his lifetime. And we know him today mostly for his compositions. In 1800, Clementi would have been 48 years old, in his prime, with another 30 years in his life. But just as no one knew that in 1800, neither did anyone know that he would be nearly forgotten in the next century. To those that study piano and music history, Clementi is a kind of father to piano artistry. He was the first to write works expressly for the piano. He comes out of the tradition of Scarlatti, but those were for keyboard instruments, including harpsichords. The earliest pianos were actually pianofortes. They were invented by Bartolomeo Cristofori in Padua, Italy. They were the first keyboards to use a hammer to strike the strings rather than pluck them. The hammer gave some control over volume. Soon, Gottfried Silbermann copied the pianoforte and added the sustain pedal. J.S. Bach was shown one of these early pianofortes in 1730 by Silbermann, and he said, "The upper register is too quiet." Silbermann took the criticism to heart, and there was some animosity between the two men. But Silbermann heeded the point and made changes. In 1747, Bach approved the changes Silbermann made and even became a selling agent for Silbermann pianos. Pretty soon, the Venetians got involved, and they decided to put two strings per note, giving the pianos more oomph. This is about the time Clementi came on the scene. Their lives didn't overlap. There's just a two-year gap. The piano can be the stitching between the two great composers' lives. J.S. Bach approved of the rising instrument, and Clementi breathed life into it. You see, the piano was able to play legato, whereas the harpsichord, it always produced an attack on each note. Clementi developed a fluid piano technique that emphasized the legato capabilities on the piano. He passed this on to a generation of pianists, notably Hummel, Czerny, and Kramer, three of his own students, but he also influenced Beethoven, Liszt, and Chopin by association. Clementi was born in Rome to Niccolo Clementi, a silversmith. The father recognized the son's talent, and he sent him to the Maestro di Cappella at St. Peter's Basilica for musical instruction. Muzio started learning figured bass at age 7 and counterpoint at age 11. He composed an oratorio at age 13, and at 14 he got a gig as an organist at a church in Rome. At age 15, he got noticed by an Englishman who took him to his manse in Dorset, England. The place was no dump, as it was owned by Sir Peter Beckford, also the father of a writer, William Thomas Beckford. The young Clementi got to study 8 hours a day and then amuse his employer playing music for him on the harpsichord. He mostly played Bach, Handel, and Scarlatti. He did this until he was 22 years old. While under the employ of Sir Beckford, he made a debut and an organ recital, and in a few years he was released from the obligations in Dorset. He moved to London, and he began his career as a keyboardist and conductor at His Majesty's Theatre. He kept working away, and his reputation grew, and soon enough he was touring Europe. He played in Paris for Marie Antoinette, also in Munich, Salzburg, and Vienna. Does this sound a lot like someone else we knew? Yes, Mozart, who was 4 years younger than Clementi. The elder pianist was now touring at age 24, about 10 years after Mozart and his sister Nannerl did their grand tour of Europe and 3 trips to Italy. But did their paths cross? Well, yes. In 1781, Clementi and Mozart agreed to a contest of sorts for the brother of Marie Antoinette in Vienna on Christmas Eve. The two virtuosi were called upon to improvise and perform their own compositions. So Mozart would have been 25 years old and Clementi 29. The emperor declared a tie. 2 weeks later, Mozart writes to his dad saying, "Clementi plays well as far as execution with the right hand. His greatest strength is passages with thirds." He goes on to call him a mere mechanic, devoid of taste or feeling. In another letter, he declares Clementi a charlatan, that he marks a piece presto and only plays allegro, like all the Italians. Maybe he doth complain too much. Was Clementi a true rival of Mozart's? Maybe. At the time, Clementi was experimenting with more flamboyant styles, and this is probably what came across at the Duel of the Keyboardists. One of the pieces Clementi played was his Toccata Opus 11. This displays the thirds Mozart referenced. Clementi, on the other hand, was nothing but delighted by his opponent. He told another pianist, "I've never heard anyone play with such spirit and grace." People tried to display the two as rivals, but there's more evidence of respect between the two keyboard composers. Mozart's biographer at least attributed Clementi's influence on Mozart's style, and Mozart used an opening motif of Clementi's B-flat sonata in his Overture to Magic Flute. Clementi, in turn, wrote many piano transcriptions of Mozart's music, including arias from his operas. Here's one from Don Giovanni. For the next 20 years, Clementi taught in England, and his teachings extended to the second generation, including Mendelssohn and Chopin, meaning students of his students, or grand students, as my friend Janine Dallas used to call them. He also became an entrepreneur, taking over a piano shop and starting a publishing company, Clementi & Company. In 1807, he came to agreement with Ludwig van Beethoven. He became his publisher and editor. And he may have made some editorial corrections, including some harmonic corrections that have since come under criticism. I'll bet. By 1810, Clementi stopped touring. He put his attention to composition, piano making, and his other enterprises, everything other than performing. He joined a group of prominent musicians in founding the Royal Philharmonic Society. The inaugural concert was in 1813, and it had Clementi at the piano. And they performed works by Beethoven and Haydn. Beethoven was asked to be part of a concert in 1827, but he was ill at the time. As a result, Beethoven's choral symphony was written for the RPS. The RPS sent him what would have been equivalent to nearly £10,000 in today's money. George Bernard Shaw refers to this as the only entirely credible incident in English history. Yeah, they did something right. Clementi retired from his piano-making business, his publishing, and the society in 1830. His last concert with the society was 1828. He moved to the countryside with his family, and at age 80 died after a short illness. He was buried in Westminster Abbey. He had 5 kids, and his descendants include Marjorie Clementi, who died in 1997. She was a pianist at the Northern Royal College of Music. Other than that, most of his family became bankers, air marshals, administrators. Not many musicians from his offspring. But what a lasting legacy we have in his music. He wrote 110 sonatas. And many have been reclassified as sonatinas. Most of them were harder than Mozart's sonatas, and Mozart used to complain that they were too technical. Beethoven, on the other hand, he loved Clementi's sonatas, and it's purported he always had a volume of them on his music stand. He recommended them to other people. He taught them to his students. So we can see why Clementi was probably an influence in Beethoven's own writing. Beethoven was quoted saying, "Those who thoroughly study Clementi, at the same time, acquaint themselves with Mozart and other composers. But the converse is not the fact." Recognition also came from Czerny, Liszt, and Chopin. They all introduced Clementi's sonatas to their students. Eventually, by a ministerial decree, Clementi's music was promoted to a national status in Italy. In 2008, all the works of Clementi were published in the Italian National Edition. Better late than never. It's funny, we hear so little of his music today. My first sonatas I played as a youth were Clementi's. They're ingrained in my psyche. But if you're not a piano student, his music was surely overlooked. He was well known during his lifetime, but now it's his contemporaries we know. So let's raise a glass to a guy those guys saluted. Muzio Clementi, the composer's composer. That's our episode this week. Maybe you'll explore some other music related to these guys. My friends John McCarthy and Nanette Solomon, they played a recital just this week with music by Hummel, another student of Clementi. It's worthwhile to listen to the influence these composers all had on each other.
As a high school student, I would go over to Carnegie Library, and they had the old LPs. And I took out the Haydn Piano Concerto, because I wanted to hear that. And on the back side was Hummel Piano Concerto No. 3 in B minor. And I'm like, what a fantastic composer.
I hope you'll share this episode and maybe subscribe to this podcast. But most of all, keep supporting live music. It's the very best. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Bye now.